The French president has publicly and humiliatingly rebuked America. Learn how this stunning turn of events aligns with history and Bible prophecy. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. On the 1st of November 2018, the leaders of the world assembled in France. They were there to honor the veterans of World War I. And during that assembly where these 60 world leaders were, President Macron of France attacked the President of the United States unmercifully. Now, what is behind all this wrath, and why would he do something like this, since America's power really was the power that saved his nation both in World War I and World War II? So that's quite a betrayal. And here's the greater shocker is that all of that is in the context of Bible prophecy for this end time, this very end time that we're living in right now. Now, last week I discussed the nation of France and showed how they are descendants of Reuben, and I'll show you that in a moment, Reuben being the brother of Joseph. And there is a lot of history between those two brothers. And all of it's explained in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. There is, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they are Britain and America today. And that's not that difficult to prove. But here we see that these two nations, Britain and America, have dominated this world in this end time in a way that not many nations have in, in recent years. They have been very powerful because they are the birthright nations, that is, America and Britain. They received special blessings from God in a miraculous way, and it was a result of Abraham's obedience to God, but the promises made to Abraham were not fulfilled until this end time when it came to the birthright. So there's a lot of history there that we need to understand. But if you look at this betrayal of France and what is happening today, their betraying of the U.S. and of Britain, and we'll see Judah as well in many ways if you study into this. So the interesting thing about it is if you go back in the early books of the Bible, you'll see that Reuben betrayed his brother Joseph then. And we have been prophesying for over 50 years saying that the same thing would happen in this end time in a similar way anyhow. And we've been saying it for a long time, so that makes the history of Reuben very interesting in this end time. I want to read to you just a little from an article here about that event and how President Trump was, criticized in a very humiliating way. This is taken from the Washington Post from November 12, 2018. In the shadow of a grand war memorial here, French President Emmanuel Macron marked the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I by delivering a forceful rebuke, and it was aimed primarily at President Trump. And this is before 60 world leaders. And notice the article continues, his words represented a pointed rebuke to President Donald Trump, as well as Russian President Vladimir Putin and others among the more than 60 world leaders in attendance. What is the cause of all this wrath? What is behind this? It's really much deeper. Well, it's really just unknown to this world why that's really happening, the real power behind all this. here's the conclusion that I want to give you. By putting our own interests first with no regard to others, we erase the very thing that a nation holds dearest and the thing that keeps it alive, its moral values, Macron said. Now, he's talking about President Trump putting America first, but then all nations really do that, and unless they're really foolish. They have to look out for themselves first or they can't help anybody else. But he says that we do it with no regard to others. And nobody has been more serving toward others than the United States of America. I don't think there's ever been a nation in the world that served this world like America has. So why would he say that? Well, there's another article here from Fox News, November 10, where it talks about, in so doing, Macron ignores the hundreds of thousands of American lives sacrificed on French and European soil to save the free world during World War I and during World War II. Hundreds of thousands of lives were given. I mentioned that last week, and but I want to build on what I talked about last week and tell you more about France and prophecy. And you can see that something's going on here that people ought to be aware of. Back in Genesis 48, I want to read a little of that to you again that I read to you last time. This is about Israel, and Joseph came before him, his son, and he had two sons himself, that is, Joseph did, Ephraim and Manasseh, that is, Britain and the United States. And we've proven that for, well, about 70 years, I suppose, from our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. And all of our literature is free if you'd like to have that book and don't have it at this time. But let me tell you, it's absolutely critical to understanding one-third of the Bible, which is prophecy. If you don't understand what the subject of that book, you won't understand Bible prophecy. Verse 16 reads, "The angel which redeemed me from an evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So, he said, now on these two sons, for the end time, we'll see in a moment, for the end time, well then, the name will be on those two sons, the name Israel, in Bible prophecy for this end time. Genesis 49 and verse 1 says, "And Jacob called unto his sons," there were 12 sons, Jacob or Israel, his name was changed, "and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." So he says, now I'm going to tell you what is going to befall you in the last days, and he's doing it in the very first book of the Bible, the very first book. We have to realize that the Bible is a book about Israel, but what most people don't realize is once God gets everybody converted, they're all going to be Israel. And that's really a responsibility, even that's on America and Britain today. They were given the birthright nations, and of course, God wanted them to show the world how to obey God and how to look to God, and that God would bless them mightily. Now, if you're in the last days, we're talking about Matthew 24 and 21 and many other verses where it says that if Jesus Christ didn't return, there would be no flesh saved alive. Now that's what that's the context here. That's the last days. Oftentimes it'll even lead on into the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's take a closer look at this. Genesis 49 and verse 1 talks about the last days, and then verse 2, "Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." See, now it's Jacob and Israel. It's talking really about the nations of Israel and also spiritual Israel that's turned away from God in this end time. "Hearken," God says. Most of God's own church has rebelled in this end time. Verse 3, Reuben, you are my firstborn. The firstborn, my might and beginning. You see, something, there's something special about the firstborn. I'll show you that later. The beginning of my strength. Well, he has some special strength. Why? Well, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water. You shall not excel because you went up to your father's bed. You then defiled you. It. He went up to my couch and he had a sexual relationship with one of the concubines of his father. That caused him to not receive the birthright promises. And it, because the firstborn should have received those, but because of Reuben's sin or France's sin, today, let's say, Reuben certainly is the beginning of the French nation, the father of the French nation. But here we have some serious problems, and he also goes on to betray his own brother, the firstborn. And this is all a leading, really, prophecy for this end time. Remember, I said to you last week, if you watched the program then, and I hope you did, Mr. Macron said, we have to protect ourselves with respect to China, Russia, and even the United States of America, Mr. Macron said on French radio. And then he says, well, now we will not protect the Europeans unless we decide to have a true European army. So we don't need to look to America. We don't need to look to them. What we need is a true European army. He's talking about the Holy Roman Empire. And there's something behind that empire that is, very frightening if you read Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. There is an article that can make it available to you on the internet. It's not ours, but the title of it is France, the Enigma of Our Time. August 1966. This is by Deborah Apardian, and this was written under Herbert W. Armstrong's guidance. And here's what was written in 1966, talking about Reuben and his descendants. And it says here, Reuben will once again play an instrumental part in selling his brother Joseph. Now imagine that. 1966 we wrote that. Well, that's a lot of years. It had certainly about, I guess, a little over 50 years that we have been saying this, even from this article. Now, how do you explain that? How could we know what France was going to do? Now, let me read to you Genesis 37, verses 18 through 20. And when they, the brothers, saw him, Joseph, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, the dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Genesis 37, verses 18 through 20. Now, all of his brothers conspired against him because he was really the favorite of Israel, his father, and they hated him because of that and for other reasons. Joseph was being blessed in some ways by God. Then it says, on down in verses 21 and 22, and Reuben heard it, the plot to kill Joseph, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. In other words, they'd have to go back and tell his father, well, he just disappeared and some beast devoured him or something like that. But even after Reuben left, he was put in the pit, but he actually sold Joseph to some people that were going to Egypt. And, of course, there's a big story behind all that that I don't have time to get into today. But anyhow, here you can see that Reuben actually had a hand in all of this, and he was the firstborn and had authority over the family. That's just the way it was in ancient Israel, and that is over the other sons and daughters and so on. But he should have been in charge, and he should have made sure nothing was done to his father's son, his brother. He said that Reuben failed to shoulder his own responsibilities. He didn't even remain with his brothers until the end to know what they finally decided to do with Joseph. So that's a lot of terrible news. I want to just mention a book to you that is titled, We'll Always Have Casablanca. Now, this was written by Noah Eisenberg, and the movie is about the period when Reuben or France was in captivity to Germany in World War II. I just want to show you a little bit of this history. Some of it is quite accurate, even though it's not all accurate, but a lot of it is. It's built on real history, and I'll give you a little of that, but I'd like to show you just about a minute promotion of that movie, and you'll see why it is probably the most loved movie in America. If you are familiar with it, you'll remember that anyhow.
Play it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply.
You really can't get away.
Rick, hide me. Do something. You must help me.
I stick my neck out for nobody.
Wise foreign policy.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you
Why did you come back? To tell me why you ran out on me at the railway station?
Yes.
And you can tell me now. I'm reasonably sober.
Brains as time goes.
There is a man arrived in Casablanca on his way to America. He will offer a fortune to anyone who will furnish him with an exit visa.
Yeah, what's his name?
Victor Laszlo.
It's still the same.
It's perhaps a strange circumstance. We both should be in love with the same woman.
A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
He's looking at you, kid.
But in this book, he says Casablanca premiered in 1942, and just 2 weeks after that, the city of Casablanca was taken over by General Patton's troops and given back to the people of Morocco, which was a French territory. But you see, France was in captivity at that time, and so was Casablanca. Because the Casablanca was in the French territory of Morocco. But anyhow, it's just become a movie that's probably been played over and over and over again more than any other movie. And it's won the Oscar for Best Picture, Best Director, and the Best Adapted Screenplay. So it was quite a famous movie. But there was a lady in this movie that sang the French national anthem, and there were tears streaming down her face, and as she sang that, and others sang with her, and they were competing with the Germans, and Germans were singing one of their patriotic songs, and of course the French decided after the Germans were singing their song that then they would also sing their national anthem, and this lady had tears running down her cheek because of all the terrible things that were happening, and the Nazis were right there before them, humiliating them. She said, Vive la France and Vive la Démocratie, in other words, they're a democracy, but today, well, France is about to lose that democracy in a very horrifying way. But anyhow, as far as they know, all of the cast of characters has now died, and this one culture minister, Audrey Azoulay, said of Le Beau, this lady that sang that song, along with the others, but she was the lead singer. She said, she will forever be the face of French resistance. That movie has really had an impact in this world, and the setting is World War II. When France was, at that time, in captivity. Now, all the refugees were there, and military people were there, and this really happened. And one of the authors of the book experienced much of that when he was in Austria. He went there to get some of the wealth of his family and try to get it out of there. Very dangerous thing to do, but he saw all these refugees, and he ended up in Nice, France. He saw refugees and all kinds of military personnel. I mean, there were refugees all over the place because they were fleeing the Nazis. The Nazis and Germany. Now, there was a three-act stage play written by these two authors, Murray Burnett and Joan Allison. They have given us some pretty good history of what happened there. And it is certainly a very patriotic movie and one that's quite stirring. And, of course, when he got to Austria, Hitler had already annexed Austria, just took a nation over himself, and nobody did anything to stop him. Well, anyhow, they saw that that refugee trail led to Casablanca and into Morocco, and so they built the movie around that. It was it's really quite an interesting story. And so last time I mentioned to you that Macron honors Nazi collaborator Pétain. And this is Spiegel Online, November 7, 2018. Now, again, this is the puppet government, the government that the Nazis placed in France to rule over France as their puppet, really. So Philippe Pétain was responsible for the deportation of Jews after 1945. He was sentenced to death. Nevertheless, France's leader, Macron, has now honored the soldier as a hero of the First World War. Well, this was the leader in power in France when all this was going on in the movie Casablanca. It was about the Nazis, and the Nazis were there in control of Morocco. So it was a terrifying world, and where is France headed today? Well, let me just read you a couple of scriptures that I used last time. There is good news in this because it all leads to the second coming of Jesus Christ directly, and you can prove that from over 100 prophecies. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Well, it's going to be an evil spirit being behind this movement. This last head of the Holy Roman Empire. And that's what is behind all this. That's why there's such wrath that you can't really explain any other way. Something really horrible is going on. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper, or mightily, and prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. See, those people in God's own church who rebelled are going to have to face martyrdom if they don't repent. And the nation is going to have to suffer. The nation of America, the nation of Britain, and also Judah, who has the scepter promise. If they don't repent, they have some very bad times ahead. Verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. He's going to be destroyed without hand, or by God himself. God is going to smash the seventh head of that Holy Roman Empire, who's had seven heads of bloody, bloody history of absolutely, well, doing evil things to Europe and other places. So God says it's all about to end, It's all this evil that you see in the world is leading directly into the second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's the best news you or I could ever receive. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The French president has publicly and humiliatingly rebuked America. Learn how this stunning turn of events aligns with history and Bible prophecy. America and France have fought together in two world wars, but France often lacks gratitude for America's sacrifice. Though hundreds of thousands of American soldiers died to preserve France's freedom from Nazi tyranny, French leaders seem eager to favor Germany over America today. Request our free reprint article, France in Bible Prophecy, for a revealing look at the French character and mindset. Understand why France sometimes appears to act against its own best interests in international relations. Learn about the long and unpredictable history of France, which traces all the way back to the biblical patriarch Reuben. Discover God's promise and curses on the French people and how Reuben's unstable nature is evident in France today. You will also receive our free two-part Key of David DVD series about France in Bible prophecy. The America-France relationship started thousands of years ago with betrayal, and it will soon end with betrayal. You need to know how and why. The survival of all mankind is at stake. Also, search online for the article France, the Enigma of Our Time, from the August 1966 Plain Truth News Magazine. Learn how France has swung from ally to enemy with different nations throughout history, and how this fascinating country factors into end-time events. Again, search online for France, the Enigma of Our Time, from the August 1966 Plain Truth. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request France in Bible Prophecy and our two-part DVD series on France. Also, search online for France, the Enigma of Our Time. Act now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of the Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.